B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
751, that's the number you leave your messages on. When you have something to say, you leave it there. Andrew goes through it, finds the best of the best. And that's what we hear right now on Bring the Heat.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm calling to just calm down the whole Delaware Valley for about Bryce Harper. This guy has got the world on his shoulders right now. He's a 26-year-old. He's not a kid, but compared to me, he's a kid. He just uprooted his whole life and moved to Philadelphia. And he's got, I'm sure he gets to the plate and he's thinking too much. Just wait till July or August. And if we still have the problem, then maybe it is a problem. But I think he's going to be just fine.
You're what, a couple months into a 13-year commitment? And there's people like, going, oh, we made the Phillies made the wrong decision. Baseball's played out over a full season. And right now, when Bryce Harper, he got off to a smoking hot start to the season. Right now, he's batting .220. Now, last year at the All-Star break, if I'm not mistaken, Andrew, he was batting about .220 as well.
Exactly. And I said yesterday on, of course, the Fanatic Baseball Show, I'm okay with people who are upset with his lack of production right now. Like, I'm not annoyed, but like, yeah, I'm bummed out that he's not hitting 300 and he doesn't have 15 home runs like guys like Yelich and Bellinger have right now. But I'm not about to start freaking out and sounding alarms and saying, if I could go back now, I would not sign that contract, because there are a very few amount of people who are already saying that. It's like, dude, come on, we're 41, 42 games into a 13-year career with this guy.
Yeah, 42 games in. The thing, look, you look at last year, and he batted .249 for the season, had a much better second half than he did first half. But the year prior, he batted .319, and he's off to a slow start at the plate this year. But you also have to look at the effect he has on the lineup. Look at the effect he's had on Rhys Hoskins. You got to consider that as part of it as well. He'll come around. I got faith that he'll come around, and he'll be just fine. He didn't forget how to play. He didn't forget how to hit. He's been good in the outfield.
Plus, keep in mind, and I said this last night as well, I know we aren't excited about walks, but he leads the National League in walks, and there's only one guy in all of baseball ahead of him, and that's Mike Trout, who's the best player in the last decade, maybe of all time.
Yeah.
So he's getting on base. He's walking, right? He's playing good defense. He's still the vocal leader. You see him hustling. There's one thing that he's not doing, and that's hitting, and the weather hasn't been great. And I know it's a crazy stat. Jason Stark told me the other night that with fastballs 94 miles per hour or faster, he's only hitting 185 around there, which is troublesome. But what do baseball players do as the season goes on? They get better when the weather warms up.
Yeah, he's just not seeing it yet, and he will. He will definitely. He'll end up around that .250 range for the season. Right now he's at .220, but it's only 42 games in. A lot of time left, people. What's next?
So, Jake, do you think the three walks contributed to the loss? What? Those walks, man. You see that defense behind me? Where they got holes in their club? Huh? Can't throw? You see that? Hey, Gabe, analyze this.
Well, I thought that Arrieta last night was going to, in this postgame, blame Bruce Willis. Because he threw out the ceremonial first pitch.
And it didn't go well.
No, it did not. I expected a lot more out of Bruce Willis. What's up with that?
Yeah, you're on a big stage. You got to come through, man.
Yeah, and it's not like he's at least looks semi-athletic, right?
I'm glad the people booed him. He deserved it.
Yeah. I hate to do it to Bruce, but he's got to be better. I mean, come on. This is a guy, it was Butch.
Hey, he's supposed to be Mr.
Pride, Butch.
He's supposed to be Mr. Tough Guy over here. Can't throw a baseball. Let's go.
Yeah. What was his name in Die Hard? Yeah, McClane from Alan Rickman. John McClane. Is it John McClane? That's right? Yeah?
Not Jeff McClane.
Yeah, not Jeff McClane. Thank you. What's next?
Hey, Mr. Rodriguez. Yeah, it's me, the Cape calling. I tossed two Greyhound tickets at your locker. Yeah, no, it's not about last night. listen, we're going to just send you away for a few months. Oh, why did I get you two tickets? Well, you know, in case you lose the first ticket, you'll have a backup.
Oh, man. That guy's a little... The laugh of... His Gabe laugh is creepy.
It's great. Now, did you see what Sean Rodriguez did yesterday with the bases loaded?
Yeah.
There's the ground ball right back to him. Gio Gonzalez was on third base, and he didn't run right away, which is a mental error on his part.
Not paying attention.
And instead of Sean Rodriguez automatically throwing home and then turning two, because then Real Muto could fire it over to first... He tried running everybody back. It was bases loaded, dude. Just throw it home.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. You're being dumb in that situation. You're already down. Get your head in the game. You need a Doug Peterson. Get your head out of your ass in that moment.
It's weird because we expect players at the highest level in Major League Baseball to know the simple thing. You know what I mean? Like in Little League, you'd say, all right, force it. You know, you tell your players.
Force it any bag.
14. Yeah. And to get kind of caught with a mental error like that, it's insane.
I know Rodriguez isn't really a third baseman. Like, they're trying to use him as a utility guy right now, but
yeah, still. On. I mean, the principle still applies. What's next?
Come on, Philly. Do y'all not remember when Allen Iverson cried against the Pacers? It's because he cared, but ain't nobody say nothing then. Nobody said anything about AI crying then.
You're right. Dead right.
When Joel Embiid cries, everybody got something to say. Come on, man. Let's support the big man. We'll be back next year. We're going to go to the finals.
It's a great point. I was at the press conference when Allen returned and cried. I mean, he got really emotional. Like, you could feel it in the room, too, how emotional he was. And if AI cried, then anybody can cry, right? Because AI was, you know, he was the man. He was a warrior. And people having a problem with Embiid crying, I just don't get that. I don't get how you can have you can go, oh, he's soft because he's crying. Or you can't talk all that smack and then cry. Well, I agree in one sense that Embiid's got to be careful of the smack that he talks, or at least not proclaim yourself to be the most unstoppable player in the league and then get sick and you know, look, did he have excuses for his poor play? I guess to some extent. But he wasn't great offensively in the playoffs. He had an effect on the game, as evidenced by his plus minus in the games he was out. What, he missed like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes in game 7, Andrew, and they were minus 12 in that time? His effect on the floor is very evident. But I didn't have a problem with him being crying. I know people did, though. What's next?
This is for the guy, what was it, Chase? Dude, like, you've never been in this situation where you can't control your emotions, where something meant that much to you. You can't just, oh, I'm going to go in here and cry, dude. If you have emotions, dude, you let them out. It don't mean you're not a warrior, bro. You probably got your freaking behind kicked, dude. You're old Mike. Now you're a stone-cold J.O. telephone tough guy. The hell out of here, dude.
All right.
Like, sports, I'm trying to think of a time when sports made me cry. I didn't cry at the Super Bowl win. Did you cry at that, Andrew, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
I teared up, but it wasn't like I wasn't sobbing.
I guess it was emotional, and it was more just a release of, oh my goodness, something I've never thought would happen actually happened. It didn't make me cry, but like the loss against Toronto, I wasn't emotional. When the Phillies won the World Series in 08, I don't recall being emotional. I mean, maybe as a kid, I know I cried when Pelly Lindbergh died, but I don't recall any other times that I cried. I remember being sad, though, as a kid when seasons would end. When a sports season would end and your team got knocked out early or whatever. But as a kid, you just love watching games. So the end of the season meant you had to wait. And when you're a kid, 6 months in between season feels like an eternity. Now it goes by like it's in the snap of a finger. What's next?
Hey, Ant, I feel your pain. And I am giving you a week of mourning like normal people would have, unlike your partner there, who I just heard say, I shoehorn my way out of feeling depression. That's because the Flyers have sucked for so long, he's used to it.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm not used to it, Ant, and I'm mad as hell, and I'll stay miserable if I feel like it, and that's all there is to it.
Well, by your logic, then, if I can get over it because the Flyers have sucked so long, as you said, meanwhile, that's the team that's gone to more championship rounds of any team in Philadelphia, by the way. The Sixers, since 83, went once to the finals in 01. The Phillies went twice since 83. They went 08 and won it, and they went 09 and lost. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl in 80. They went to the Super Bowl in 04, 05, 05, I guess technically was the calendar year. And then they went a couple years ago and won it. But I choose not to live in a depressed state. If I can get myself out of it, I try and force myself out of it. Now, Anthony's comfortable there right now. I don't know that he wants to be in a depressed state. He'd rather, obviously, the Sixers be playing right now against the Bucks, and we'd be breaking down that game today, game one, where Toronto lost last night, 108-100. But, no, I shoehorned my way out of it. If you want to be depressed about it and carry that for a period of time of a week or 2 weeks, that's your decision. I choose not to stay there in that headspace. I forced myself out of it. That's legit, right, Andrew? Man. I shouldn't have to wallow in it. There's nothing you can do about it. And it wasn't a final.
I'm still bummed out.
I'm bummed they're not playing still. I'd love to have them to talk about for the next month and go to an NBA final. But I can't. There's nothing I can do about it.
Like, when I saw last night that they were playing yesterday, I was like, this should be them.
Well,
this should be the Sixers.
It should have been. And that's why the season wasn't a success, because it's not the Sixers, because they didn't get past the round of the playoffs that they did last year. But Tyrone talked about it earlier. You have to lose in that league to win. Eventually, you can't microwave success in the NBA. Young guys just can't come in and take you to a championship. It's going to take time. They come in so young now, too. 610-632-0975. That's the number. Got some open lines if you want to jump on board. And that was Bring the Heat. We'll do it again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We do it every day at 1 o'clock. So hit the Bring the Heat line at 610-771-9751 and leave your messages there. And we'll play them tomorrow. And it's brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to Donald in Chester on the Fanatic. What's up, Don?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about the Phillies. I mean, I'm with everybody else. There's no really no need to panic. It's still early. It's just that the one thing I don't like to see right now at this point is the notice that we get bullied, you know, at the plate. You know, because I noticed, like, with in sports, what other people were saying, they were right, that I think they're, like, overthinking, you know, and they don't look all that calm and relaxing. It's like, you know, the pitcher's not really waiting for them. You know, it's like they're trying to keep up with them. So, I mean, I just think that we're just getting bullied at the plate so much. And it's like when the pitcher's hitting, when he's hitting his spot, you know, we're not able to foul off as much and to force that fastball to come through right now. So, I mean, that's like the only thing I have a problem with right now. So what do you guys think?
Well, what you're saying, you're right. And Andrew brought up the stat with Harper of pitches over 94 miles an hour. He's just not seeing the ball right now and able to catch up to it. That will change. But yeah. Even with all of that, with Harper batting 220, with the starting pitch, Nola has not been great.
Right.
Arrieta has been up and down. They're still in first place.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're still leading the NL East right now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, because that's like the only thing that I take personal, because when you look at the whole situation, right, there's nothing to panic about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, just you don't like, panic this early into a baseball season. You just don't.
There's nothing to panic about, but I know for me, I just don't like to see us get bullied at, you know, at the plate. I just like to see us, you know, like, especially against a team like the Brewers. I know it isn't the first. I know it isn't the last time that we'll see them, you know. But I just,
yeah, well,
I
that want, could be a I team just, you get up against in the playoffs at some point, too.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Well, here's the deal, though, too. I mean, if you're the Nationals, they're 17-25 right now. I just said you don't panic 42 games into a baseball season. In Washington, you may want to start panicking. There's seven games. Look, there's a lot of time to make up ground and get back into this thing. But they are seven games back. I mean, is it time to panic in Washington?
No. They've been concerned. They've been banged up a lot this year. I mean, they still have
so
those.
So the Phillies.
They still have those three horses in Strasburg, Corbin,
sure.
and Scherzer. So I wouldn't be panicking just yet. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to lose this way, they fire their manager, and then maybe that's when the season falls apart. But I can see them ending up turning things around come the All-Star break.
Okay, there's a really weird thing on the standings in Major League Baseball right now. The Cincinnati Reds, Andrew, are 19-24. They're in last place in the Central, 7.5 games back of the Cubbies. Yet they're +29 in run differential. That's incredible.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's more so like an early season total. Like, I think that eventually changes. Because remember, you and I were talking about this, it was weeks ago now, but remember the Red Sox were like a minus 20 or something?
Yeah, they're
plus
27 now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they ended up turning it around, so... I mean, I wouldn't be. The Reds had a nice night last night against the Cubs. They scored a lot of runs, so they're hitting the ball. But eventually, I think that total falls off, especially if you're a last place team. You're not going to finish with a huge plus minus, a plus, you know, run total if you're coming in last place of your division.
I'll take it the other way. The Pirates are 21-19, and they are minus 47, yet ahead of them in the standings. That's incredible. It's really, it's almost, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 75. Run differential in the plus minus.
Yeah, so you know what? And to what I just said, you can then counter that with, well, if they have a good plus minus right now, that means they could climb in the standings, whereas the Pirates could end up falling off, which I kind of expect them to fall off eventually because the Pirates, I mean, they made a couple moves, but they gave up that Glasnow kid who's with the Rays now, and he's going to be one of the best pitchers in the league for Chris Archer.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is when the Reds are hot, they're really hot, and they're just crushing it. And when they're cold, they're dead cold. Tampa Bay legit, though, right?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, they're legit.
Let's go to Chris in South Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
I wanted to comment on that caller right before right before the hot take line about LeBron. If he was in Philly, if we'd be in a championship.
Yeah.
100%. I think it all correlates. I think you wouldn't have Ben Simmons, a lot of the problems that he's been having. Wouldn't have him if LeBron was on the team. Embiid, you know, him. The whole shot clock thing, everybody wants to blame Brett Brown. It was because we have to hold the ball at the top of the key for an extra 10 seconds waiting for Embiid to get in a position because he's walking with 2 minutes left. That wouldn't happen if LeBron was on the team. I just think this team lacks one thing, leadership. It lacks somebody to keep these guys humble and with LeBron, I think that heals every wound that this team has.
Yeah, you're right. The one thing about LeBron is he's going to demand more out of everybody. And he's a guy that may have even more impact on a player giving effort or a player doing the right things than a coach would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good point. You may be right. We'll never know. But you may be right, and they probably would still be playing right now because they probably would have had the best player in that Toronto series, not the other way around, where Kawhi was the best player in that series.
Yeah, but even if we got LeBron for 1 or 2 years, just like I said, him his whole tutelage on the other younger guys would carry over, you know, 7 to 10 years in this franchise. Just from having him. Those short, you know, couple years and what he could have passed on. You know, yeah, it's a shame that deal never happened.
Yeah, you're right, Chris. And Simmons is tight with LeBron. And we know that Simmons and LeBron are close. We hope that that happens in the offseason. LeBron teaches Simmons how to be more aggressive. And I don't know that LeBron's going to be his, you know, shot doctor, but you'd like to see some of that wear off on the Simmons. If he was here, though, you're right. It would be he'd have an impact on players around him. There's no doubt that he would. A couple of tweets real quick. Jay tweets, and he goes, how are you going to forget the 93 Phillies? Because I was 7, and I remember. I didn't mention 93 for teams getting to the finals. And I did gloss over that. I went right from 83 to 08, 09. How could I forget the 93 Phillies? I know. I was in college at the time. Phillies went 3 times. You forgot 93, says Brendan O'Malley. I did. I glossed over that and I forgot. Merchant of Philly tweets and he goes, you may not have cried when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, but when G hoists the cup, you'll be crying like a newborn. No, that is not true. It doesn't make me cry. Plus, I'll be working. So there you go. Would you cry, Andrew, if the Phillies won the World Series this year?
No, I'm when I get pumped up and emotional about sports, I just don't cry. I don't.
It doesn't hit you in that way.
No, I'm not a crier.
And you're big base. I mean, baseball is your number one.
Yeah, when they won the World Series, I didn't cry, and I was in 8th grade. So, like, you would maybe expect that a younger kid would cry. I didn't cry. I'm not a crier. I'm just telling you right now.
You were in 8th grade when they won? Did you go to the parade?
I actually got in the stadium. So I was in the stadium during the parade, So watched on the big screen, and then was there for, you know, Chase Utley's moment and all those other moments. It was great.
Hey, this one's for you, Philly.
With Charlie?
Good morning, Skip.
Jack in Jersey is on the Fanatic. What's up, Jack?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm about to go play a round of golf, so I couldn't be better. I just say one thing. You were talking about like moments when people cried, and I say I never get emotional about sports. The one time I did, though, was when the Phillies lost to the Cardinals in 11, and you saw Chris Carpenter ripping off his shirt, and then Howard tears his Achilles. It was the worst moment of my entire sports life.
That's one bloody nil. And Anthony has that as his number two all-time heartbreak moments as a Philadelphia sports fan. Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one. One bloody nil, number two.
Yeah, and another thing I'd say is that...
So you wept at that? You were crying? Like,
well, I was 11, so like it was okay. Like it hit me a little bit harder. But the other thing I'd say is that I wasn't too depressed about the Sixers. I was depressed for a day. I love the Sixers, but they are my number four. I will admit that. But I will say that after watching the game last night, Raptors-Bucks, I did become a little bit more irritated for two reasons. A was the fact that Kawhi was horrendous in the fourth quarter, and I was like, oh, you couldn't do that one of the games against the Sixers. B was that I just like, and I said this from the beginning, I think the Sixers would have demolished the Bucks. And looking back on it, just annoying that they didn't get the chance to do that.
You think they would have demolished the Bucks? I think you're underestimating the Bucks a little bit. In five games? Really?
I think that the Sixers' star power would have just absolutely overpowered them.
Oh, wow. I don't agree with you on that one, Jack. I don't think they would have demolished the Bucks. I think they would have had a chance. But Milwaukee was so good in this regular season at home, and not having the home court would have been a factor, in my opinion.
I don't know. I said that from the beginning. I think that once Boston became irrelevant, I thought the Sixers were the favorite. But, you know, I guess we'll never find out.
Yeah. What's your Phillies point?
The only thing I was going to say about the Phillies was that I think that Arrieta, looking back on it, was a horrendous signing based off of production and his inability to be a leader in the locker room and just continue to complain.
Yeah. Well, he calls guys out publicly. We've talked about that, and is a guy who goes every fifth day, a starting pitcher, the right guy to deliver those messages. I don't believe that he is the right guy to deliver the message. And the other part of it is he hasn't backed it up. I mean, if you don't back it up, and you don't go out there and perform at a high level, then your message is, the guys in the locker room are like, dude, chill out, man. Until you're ready to deliver, zip it. And it's a young clubhouse, too. I don't think young guys appreciate that. I really don't. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. We got some open lines. We've cleared them out. Two more segments to go here on the Midday Show before we get to Anthony. Filling in for Mike today, this afternoon, 2 to 7. Out in Oaks, check out the Cuz, and we're here at Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club. Great spot here, beautiful day for golf. Proceeds from this event benefit the AACR, the American Cancer Association for Cancer Research, the world's first and largest cancer research organization, bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer. And it's all presented by Corona Premier Light Beer for people looking for an elevated light beer experience. 2.6 grams of carbs and 90 calories. 610-632-0975. Midday Show back after this on the Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
And your cause, the AACR. Gorgeous weather. Just the other day, 49 degrees and raining. On Monday, the day after the loss, it was fitting. But the sun has shined on Philadelphia once again. Some still in mourning over the Sixers season. Not yours truly. I have moved on. I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited for football. Talking to Tim earlier, Andrew, got me a little pumped up. Because we started the show today talking about the phrase, this is our year. And going into this Eagles season, this could be the Eagles' year. They made a lot of substantial trades and acquisitions this offseason. DeSean Jackson, you got your burner. You got him back. And DeSean, it's a different DeSean than the one that left here. Not quite the same player, but a more mature DeSean. Shouldn't have been traded in the first place after his best season in the NFL by Chip Kelly. But still, the Eagles are going to enter the season, or as it looks right now, they have the third best odds to win the Super Bowl of any team in the NFC. Now, the team with the best odds to win the Super Bowl is the Patriots at 6-1. The Rams at 8-1, who sucked in the Super Bowl last year. The Chiefs, 10-1. But what's going on in Kansas City is disturbing. And we'll see if Andy Reid can keep that team pointing in the right direction. Plus, it's Andy Reid. The fourth best odds, 12-1. The Saints. Can they do it again? Can they be a team that's in that conversation? Drew Brees, another year older. His arm doesn't look as strong as it once did. The Cleveland Browns at 14-1 have the fifth best odds in the NFL of winning the Super Bowl. By the way, yesterday Odell missed OTA, this day two of OTAs in Cleveland. Not sure why. The Colts at 15-1 and the Eagles at 16-1. So again, the only teams in the NFC, the Rams and the Saints ahead of the Eagles for the best odds to win the Super Bowl. But the odds for the NFC Championship, they have the Eagles at number 5. The Rams, Saints, Bears, Vikings, and Eagles. Actually, the Bears, Vikings, and Eagles are all 8-1. And then the Cowboys at 10-1. So you could be heading into a football season with the Eagles having a chance to have it be their year again and get to another Super Bowl and roll the dice. Whether that's against New England or Kansas City or maybe Cleveland, who knows? But the Eagles could be going, if Carson Wentz can stay healthy and be the quarterback he was in 2017, pre-injury, they certainly can be a team that competes for a Super Bowl. The Phillies right now, first place in the National League East, 2.5 games up. Some of the players, key players, including Bryce Harper, not performing at peak ability, yet they're still in first place. Could this be a year where they get to a World Series? And we'll see how Matt Klentak handles the trade deadline. It's a far way off. They're only 42 games in, 120 to go. But could they be a team? Could you make the case that it could be their year? It could be the Phillies' year. And then when we enter the fall with the Sixers in the 2019-20 season, pending what Elton Brand is able to accomplish this offseason, could it be the Sixers' year? Now, we have a poll question in this regard on at 975 middays. And it's interesting because you can make the case that those three teams could all be playing for a championship. Now, Boston, right now, the Red Sox won the World Series in October. The Patriots won the Super Bowl in February. And the Boston Bruins are the favorite to win the Cup. They could win three straight titles in Boston in a row. Could the Philadelphia market be in for something like that? We tend to think no because we've been hurt so many times, but still. So the poll question brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. Here's the poll. With the Eagles, Sixers, and Phillies all being, quote, close, how many of the three are you expecting to reach the championship in their respective sport? 25% say two of the teams. 44% say one of those three teams. 17% say none of those teams will reach a final. And 14% say all three. And I've caught a little flack because I didn't put the Flyers in that equation. Flyers weren't a playoff team last year. They got a lot of work to do. They don't get into the question or into consideration until they make substantial upgrades. They change the coaching staff. Is it an upgrade? That'll remain to be seen. 610-632-0975. We're also talking about the Sixers season. Was it a success? Was it progress? Was it a failure? People weighing in all different ends on that. 610-632-0975. Neil and Bryn Mawr's on the Fanatic. Hey, Neil.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Doing good, man.
Perfect segue. I want to talk about the non-relevant team that here in Philadelphia. Did you see Carcetti's piece in the Inquirer? It was either Sunday, this past Sunday, or the Sunday prior, where I don't know if it was just him thinking up things in his head or if there's any meat to it about Voracek and Hague for P.K. Subban.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was reporting that was, he was hearing that. I think that was just a hypothetical, throwing it out there because the money matches and those kind of things.
It would make perfect sense. I mean, I of everybody on the current roster, I want them to shop Voracek harder this summer than they shopped anybody in the last 10 years. I here's my thing for the defense. I think they're going to wind up with a number one right-handed shot. It's either going to be Carlson, Drew Doughty, PK Subban, Tyler Myers. I want somebody on a level above a Tyler Myers, though, to be honest with you. And
how are you going
to
get Doughty?
I'm sorry?
How are you going to get Doughty?
That was floated out on TSN in Canada a few weeks ago because the Kings need a bunch of young players. I mean, you might have to throw in an Isaac Radcliffe or a Morgan Frost or somebody like that. But I'm not big on Drew Doughty because I think he's played a lot of hockey, and I think he's kind of like Duncan Keith. I think he's kind of on the, you know, the south end of his career.
Totally disagree.
Really?
Well, yeah, Duncan Keith's ancient. Doughty's 29.
Drew Doughty's 29, 30, and he looks tired at times on that team.
He played a lot, but I would do anything I could to get him.
Okay. All right.
Any other name you mentioned, as a matter of fact, including Carlson.
The other point is, or question point, whatever, of Frost, Radcliffe, and and Farabee. Now, I'm thinking one of those would make the roster in the fall. I'm not obviously not all three because they probably don't have that many spots. But
I don't think any of them make the team out of camp. I don't think that any of. I think the closest is Frost, and I think he'll get his debut next year for the Flyers. But I don't think any of those three make the team out of camp. I don't. I think there's a lot. I think you know they got to develop at the AHL level too. Frost, to me, will start with the Phantoms. 610-632-0975. Andrew, what are your thoughts on Farabee?
Yes.
Yeah. You know his first name?
Nobody cares about hockey, Jason?
It's spelled the same way as Embiid's first name, but said differently.
Joel.
There you go.
So look at the brains on me.
Look at the big brains on you.
Mr. Hockey.
Yes. No, I don't think any of those guys will make the team.
That season's still going on?
Maybe for the playoffs are. It was controversy last night.
Sorry,
overtime,
I missed it.
The Chief got screwed. Hand pass in overtime for the game winner, and boom, the Blues go down on home ice. That organization's never won a cup. Still trying to get one.
Sorry, I was watching the Phils.
Yeah, that's all right. It's all good. You're always on baseball. I appreciate that about you.
All right.
Do people give you crap for that, Andrew?
No.
So they just give me crap?
Yes.
The other one?
Yes.
Okay. I figured as much. 610-632-0975. Coming up, top of the hour, it's the Mike Missinelli Show. Anthony filling in today. So stay tuned. He's got you 2 to 7, an extended broadcast. It'll be filling in for Mikey Miss and then Cuz's Corner all wrapped into one. That's on the way at the top of the hour. We've got a couple open lines at 610-632-0975. This is the Midday Show, live from Downingtown Country Club on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Lawyer.com. We're back live at Downingtown Country Club, the Mike Miss Open. Everybody having a good time here today. It's all brought to you by Corona Premium. Premium light beer for people looking for an elevated light beer experience. 2.6 grams of carbs and 90 calories. What a great day for golf. Ooh, everybody out there, cocktails are flying. The Corona is being sipped. And Anthony coming up top of the hour. He's filling in for Mikey Miss today. And stay tuned. That's on the way. And we got a couple open lines. It's 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Did we accomplish any goals today, Andrew? Did we solve any problems today on the program?
Absolutely not.
So we all agree that, well, I don't know that we all agree, but we agree that at least one of these teams, most likely, will get to a final or a championship round in their sport.
Yeah, I was surprised that we didn't hear more people when I asked for it. The Twitter poll, the majority of people are saying they expect one of those three teams to be in it. And if I were to guess, one of the teams that they don't expect would be the Phillies. So that narrows it down to the Sixers and Eagles. I'm surprised that we didn't hear more from people who were picking one. Because when people say one, like, I think the Eagles are close. I think the Sixers are closest, but I think the Eagles have a very good chance of making the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Eric tweeted in response to that poll and said, Eagles and Phillies have a chance. Sixers, zero chance. Then he says, hockey is weird, and if the Flyers have a good offseason, there's an outside shot. Now, granted, when you get in that sport, if you get into the playoffs and you're hot and you get a good goalie, you can go far. Brian says, all three within the next 2 to 3 years. But ours was the season either that they're in for the Phillies right now or the upcoming season for both the Eagles and the Sixers.
What does that guy mean, the Sixers have zero chance?
I don't know. I guess he doesn't believe Ben's going to develop a shot or that Butler and Harris aren't coming back. I don't know. I'm not sure what his feeling is on the Sixers, but apparently it's not very positive. The guy tweets in, Bachelor Tonight goes, expectations lead to disappointment. Let's just ride the ride and see what happens. Like, dude, come on. That's very pragmatic. I get it. But you have expectations going into seasons based on how you value the roster of players, the coaching staff, the teams in the division or in your conference. Come on, man.
I hate that. Let's just take it game to game.
Let's just enjoy it in the moment. No, you got expectations. That's what sports are about. Can the team meet the expectation of you, the fan? And are they entertaining? Are they fun? You can't just go, they lead to disappointment. Well, if you have unreal expectations, yeah. You can go, well, I'm hoping, I expect the worst, but hoping for the best. I like those people. Will goes, Eagles are going. Sixers didn't improve, and Beaton Simmons played like last season, scared to take over a game, and the Phillies are playing like the Sixers. Shorts Will Burn says the Eagles are the only team going places, unfortunately. But a lot of people believe in the Sixers this summer. Granted, they have a lot of things to accomplish, but a lot of people, in response to that poll, don't believe that the Sixers are the team that's going to be on the rise and compete for an NBA title next year. Now, Tyrone dropped the name Klay Thompson earlier. Of course, with Golden State. He's a UFA, one of a bunch of big names that will be out there, including Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, Kevin Durant. I don't know that I see Klay coming to the East Coast after spending all that time on the West Coast. And he was raised out there as well. Can you see Klay as a Sixer, Andrew? Can you see that coming to fruition?
I don't see it happening, but he's an absolute perfect fit. I mean, he's a perfect fit for a lot of teams, but he would be a perfect fit. And if he's a guy that wants to keep on winning and wants a max contract, the Sixers have the money for it, and this is definitely a spot where he could win.
Golden State going to max him, too?
Remember, at first they were saying he was going to take a hometown discount. I don't think that's happening anymore.
Now, when you have titles in your pocket, you already checked that box. So you take a discount to go somewhere to try and win. You don't take a discount when you've already won. That would be my mentality.
Yeah, so come to Philly to not get the discount, to get the max contract, and then also win.
Yeah, that checks all the boxes. Yeah, he would be the perfect fit.
Because he's J.J. Redick on steroids. He can shoot better, and he should be an all-team defender.
Yeah, that's the perfect fit and the perfect scenario. Well, we'll see how it plays out. It's going to be interesting NBA free agency. The draft, you know, doesn't have as much teeth for the Sixers as in the past bunch of years. And that's a good thing. When you're picking 24th, you'll take it. You go, okay, that means we're a good team. But judging by the people in response there, and a little bit on the show today, too, T. Will earlier saying the season was a failure, that the Sixers season, it can't be a success, and it can't be in between, so it has to be a failure. I don't agree with that terminology. It's not as black and white as that for me with the Sixers right now. All right, Anthony is coming up next. He's got you 2 to 7, 5 hours at a cuz. He'll be joining you momentarily, and he'll take you through filling in for Mikey Miss today. Great day out here today. Thanks to everybody at the Downingtown Country Club. I saw Jaws earlier, Sal Powell here as well. They were hitting the balls around today. And thanks for having us out here today and raising money for the American Association for Cancer Research. The AACR, the world's first and largest cancer research organization. bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer, and all being presented by Corona Premium. Premium light beer for people looking for an elevated light beer experience. 2.6 grams of carbs and 90 calories. Great day out here. Thanks to Mike Von Floto and everybody else on the Fanatic team for helping out with this broadcast today. Anthony coming up next in our handoff brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more info, visit hand2shouldercenter.com. Andrew, thank you. Great job today. Stay tuned. The Cuz is coming up next right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.